Welcome to the Justified Podcast, the officially unofficial podcast for Justified on FX / Hulu. I gotta say that at this point. Aaron, we're back 8 years after our last podcast. This doesn't happen too often. To talk about a brand new limited series in the Justified universe, Justified City Primeval.
I guess
I never expected to return to the Justified universe, even though it seems like maybe Timothy Olyphant had the idea for a while now. I gotta say, I'm pretty excited to be back here, though. How about you?
Me too. I actually have been doing some Justified revisiting in the early stages of 2023.
Nice.
I just kind of on a whim rewatched season two of Justified. I also watched quite a bit of season six because I kind of want to see how things, you know, how definitively some people were, you know, retired from the series versus and how things kind of were left off. But also I'm kind of curious to see how this translates to the Detroit side of things, because a lot of what made Justified special was the character of Harlan County and the very many characters that dwelled within that character, and Raylan's deep connection to them, like, you know, and his complex relationship to the place, you know. It's like a love hate, love the place, love the people, hate some of the attitudes and the ways that the people chose to make their living down there. What does that look like when it's translated to Detroit? But I mean, I guess we should talk about like, why would people be interested in Justified if they weren't interested in it already? And do you think this might be a good introduction? Like, is this a good place to start? Do you think people will need to have watched all six seasons of Justified to enjoy this?
Absolutely not. I think the main draw here, for me anyway, is Timothy Olyphant, this is his definitive character. You probably remember him from Deadwood, Seth Bullock, and he is a lot like that character, but even cooler, even calmer, even better with a gun, and he's got the law on his side, I guess, at that point. So I'm super excited to see Raylan back. And I don't think you'll need to watch any of this series. The only thing you really need to know is Raylan has a daughter and he cares about her very much. And that's kind of it, I think. We'll see. I'm sure there will be like little things that people won't get if they like little references that people won't get if they haven't seen all of Justified. But honestly, at this point, 8 years out, I'm not sure I will get them because it has been a very long time.
Well, and it's like, I think this is a good starting place because like the first Justified starts with Raylan being a very established, successful U.S. Marshal in Miami with a complex backstory. Mm-hmm. And in the first 5 minutes, he has to leave Miami and go to a completely different place in the country where you don't know.
Yeah.
And like, you will get to, you know, like the stuff that you will come to appreciate about Raylan, it builds on. But like, I like the fact that like this kind of recreates that beginning where, you know, I'm pretty sure that in the pre-press that they handed out, they're talking about the Raylan starts off back in Miami. He's gone back to Miami and a chance encounter on the road. I think it's like he's taking his daughter to spend some summer vacation time with him. A chance encounter diverts him to some big investigation in Detroit. So I feel like it's a great place to start because it recreates that, you know, Raylan's down in Miami minding his business and gets flung to some other part in the country. And it seems like they're taking in from the trailer and again, the pre-press stuff I've seen that like this is going to be a big part of like Raylan is a fish out of water. This isn't a place where he knows a cousin's nephew's babysitter that might, you know what's going on down in the holler. He is, you know, he stands out, you know, in his dress and his way of speech. It's noted on, and I think it's going to be interesting to see Raylan, you know, on a back foot, someplace that he's not familiar.
Yeah, there's a lot of dynamics that are similar to, I guess, late stage Justified. They're going to be kind of recreated here. as well. So where he's, you know, maybe gets not on the wrong side of the law, but definitely like in over his head with the people that he's are supposedly working with him. It looks like there's going to be some contention between the law and him here. Not that he's not, you know, part of the law there, but like, I think there's an attorney general, maybe.
Are people pulling some Juris MyDiction crap, Jim? Would you say?
Probably. Yeah, it seems like it. I don't know. That trailer is really good. I think it sets up the nemesis for Raylan really well. He is sociopath who loves killing, and it looks like he's got either Raylan's daughter kind of, you know, in his orbit, or someone who Raylan, like, you know, sympathizes with a lot, which is a young girl.
Yeah. I think that's Raylan's daughter, who, we'll get to this later, is played by Timothy Oliphant's real-life daughter. Mm-hmm. Did you see that?
I did, yeah. That seems interesting.
So another thing I think people should be looking forward to is this is based on a standalone Elmore Leonard novel. And if you are a fan of Elmore Leonard, you know what that means. And if you're not, sure you are. Sure you are. If you've seen so many of his movies.
Yeah.
Out of Sight. What was the one that Tarantino directed? Get Shorty, sure. But he did the one with Pam Grier in it.
And John Travolta and all those?
No, it was basically...
Oh, Jackie Brown?
Yeah, Jackie Brown. The one is based on Rum Punch. He has been... I mean, so many of his novels have been adapted to Hollywood films and TV series because he has got something about his dialogue.
Oh,
And the way he writes it, the stuff just kind of crackles. And the plots are very satisfying and kind of twisty. And they have really unique spins, and it's usually about, I guess, more approachable crime. You know, we're not talking about like Ethan Hunt breaking into some CIA data center. It's always just like some weird real estate scheme or some kind of, you know, someone knows about $500,000 buried in the desert, or it's these like really fun little hooks. And what they've done is they've cut the heart of the story out, which is the main character, and they've transplanted Raylan Givens into the role. I think that's a really cool idea, especially if you've got the whole this Raylan is a fish out of water aspect you can add on to it. Like, I don't know why they couldn't do that to half a dozen other Elmore Leonard novels and just keep this thing going.
Yeah, for sure. If this one is good, I'll definitely be up for more. There's a lot of things that say it might be good. They've got a bunch of the people who worked on Justified originally back for both creating this show. I think Michael Dinner and Dave Andron, I think that's how you say his name. They were writers and producers on the first Justified. Taylor Elmore? I'm pretty sure that's his name. He's got the worst possible last name for this show. Because
Elmore Leonard and...
Yeah, you can't search him, because every time you type in Elmore, it just comes up with Elmore Leonard. Right. But he was instrumental in Justified, and he's back for this show in the writer's room. So I'm very hopeful that they will bring a lot of the essence of the original Justified to this.
Yeah, everyone has a good, solid handle on that character and what makes it cool, and appreciation for Leonard's dialogue and plotting. So I'm pretty excited. I mean, it's like one of those things where it's like, it's a classic Elmore Leonard where you have like three moving pieces. You've got the detective there, and in this case, a U.S. Marshal there to investigate something that he's got a connection to. You've got the killer that's on the loose. And then you've got this, I guess the killer's defense attorney is who it is that is, you know, either trying to, is she cooperating with him? Is she trying to broker a deal for him? She's not cooperating with the police, apparently. I haven't read this novel, and I've kind of tried to keep it at arm's length because, you know, going in, I always prefer, if I have the choice, to kind of go into this stuff like this blind. But it sounds like a classic kind of like, you know, perfect storm situation. We've got three people with three different motivations, all interrelated through things they're seeking, you know, kind of on this collision course in the middle of Detroit.
We'll be right back with more Bald Move after this brief pause.
Here are the highlights coming up this week on Bald Move.
It's the 40th anniversary of Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom this week. And while the movie might be old enough to belong in a museum, our podcast is brand new. So join us for a conversation on the third or fourth best Indiana Jones movie, depending on who you ask, this Wednesday.
And if retro adventure movies aren't your thing, well, maybe you'll enjoy a time warp in the form of a prequel with the theatrical release of Furiosa. Flashback with us to a time when Charlize Theron looked like Anna Taylor-Joy. And strap in for another epic George Miller action movie this Thursday on Bald Move Pulp.
And finally, we're wrapping up our four-week coverage of the 1980 TV miniseries Shogun. Get the final verdict on Yabu, JB, Mariko, and the rest of the gang this Thursday on Bald Move Prestige.
You can find these and many other great podcasts by searching for Bald Move Pulp or Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app.
Getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off badass season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints. Except, it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of Bald Movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim. Order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar. Then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of Kings Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live. And now, back with more Bald Move.
Yeah, I like the guy, Boyd Holbrook, who's playing this nemesis, this sociopath. I first saw him, I think, in Narcos, where he played Pedro Pascal's
yes.
partner.
And the then blonde most, guy opposite of Pedro, you know.
Yeah.
And
then most recently, he was one of Mads Mikkelsen's goons in Dial of Destiny. He's kind of the main goon.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah.
So I like him. I enjoy watching him. He seems like he could make a pretty good bad guy based on.
I was about to say the last thing I saw him in was The Sandman. He was a Corinthian crazy eyes. I'll just leave it at that. But yeah, he was. You're right. He was the head. Punk, I guess, goon of Mads Mikkelsen in the Indiana Jones. I also, his defense attorney is Anjuan Ellis, who I remember last seeing in Lovecraft Country. She was Atticus's aunt, Hippolyta Freeman.
Huh. Okay.
So I'm looking forward to seeing it. I've seen her in a bunch of different stuff. She was also in season one of True Blood. So I'm interested in seeing, those are like the big three. You got Timothy Oliphant as Raylan, and these are the other three. And I am curious about Vivian Oliphant.
Yeah.
As Willa Givens, Raylan's daughter. I always, whenever I see this stuff like this, I always like get nervous for people. because he got, you know, Coppola just always got drugged for casting his daughter and things. And I feel like if you do that, oh, God, I just hope they're good. I hope they're good, you know. Mm-hmm. From what I've seen the trailer, it seems like, you know, surprise, surprise, her and her dad have pretty good father-daughter chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Like, I was like, it's not like, you know, Loretta Creedy.
Sure.
You know, which they he also had kind of like maybe a big brother or dad sort of relationship, but she's, you know, she's a lot different of a character. This, I don't know, there's a little bit more of a I don't want to say equal footing, but you know, they don't, yeah, she's not a traumatized youth on the run from violent drug dealers, okay? So I don't have any of that energy in performance, but I thought, I don't know, it seemed cute when I saw them interacting in the trailer.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that. I'm curious what you think the chances are that we get cameos from the old series. Like, if you don't want spoilers, I guess skip ahead like 5 seconds, but they leave that series with a lot of the main characters still alive. Mm-hmm. Now, some of them think that others are dead and some of them
sure
actually die, but like the main characters, I think, are still alive. Mm-hmm. And potentially have a vendetta against Raylan.
Hmm.
Potentially. I think that was smoothed over, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Any chance that they come back?
I don't think so, because I don't know why you would add more elements to a story that you're just airdropping Raylan mm-hmm. in. Although I guess that's why you would add more elements to make, you know, to add those Easter eggs, because otherwise, what appearance could you have other than maybe he unpacks a box full of like keepsakes from Harlan, uh-huh. you know, this is the Pappy Van Winkle I drank, of course, with Boyd in season 4, mm-hmm. episode 3. And of course, this is,
yeah,
yeah, like what? Yeah, it would be tough. It'd be uh-huh. tough. This is the bullet I threw at Win Duffy, of course. And like, you know, like I don't know, but I could see maybe him checking in with one or two.
Yeah, we'll see. I guess I don't necessarily need it, but if it happens, if they do it right, then I guess I won't object to it.
So I heard that they are open to doing more of these.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I would say keep all that Harlan stuff in Harlan. And if this is a success and people had a lot of fun and you want to do it in FX and y'all want to do it again, have a Harlan reunion season and then bring everybody back. Because, yeah, I don't know if I want to see him make a... Because Boyd's in prison forever, essentially, uh-huh. right? Like, do I want to see him go back down to Kentucky, you know, Kentucky State Penitentiary and say, hey, we dug coal together, remember? Like, no.
Yeah.
Do I want to see Boyd blow himself out of prison and show up in Detroit and try to kill Raylan? Kinda, but that seems like it just looks stupid, right?
I agree, yeah. Yeah, I don't think there's going to be much cause for it. But
do you think, but I want to turn it around. Do you think what, if any, connection to the old Justified series in terms of characters do you think we'll see?
I mean, I'd be shocked if we don't see Winona in there somewhere.
That's a really good one. Just like on, yeah, like picking up his daughter. Although she seems like she's an older teenager, like she could maybe drive. But yeah, that's a good
possibly.
One. That's a good one. I thought maybe Nick Searcy.
Uh-huh. Yep. If we see a little bit from Art, maybe, you know, just a phone call or something, you know.
Or maybe he's like ascended into the Marshals and now he's like the Midwest regional coordinator Marshal. And, mm-hmm. you know, he's not going to supervise Marshall, but he'll be there in the room when he shows up at Detroit to bust his balls for like one scene.
Yeah.
I could totally get on board with that.
Yeah, that'd be great. Those guys had awesome chemistry. And I would love to see at least a scene with them. But maybe we should tell people
I could see like Tim. What is his name? Gunderson?
Oh,
I forget.
Or
was it Rachel?
Forgot about him.
Was the other agent, the marshal he worked with? I could see them. That would be kind of fun, too, because, like, you know, marshals do transfer and go to different parts of the country, mm-hmm. and it wouldn't be crazy to see them. They're not listed at any of the so I doubt it. It would be a kind of surprise, but he could easily bump into those people if you want to do a fun nostalgic cameo that doesn't really impact the plot at all. And mm-hmm. I don't know that they could do like four or five of those, but one or two for sure.
Yeah. And that's the kind of thing you would want to kind of keep secret, keep under your hat, if you will.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know how much more you have to say about this upcoming show, but I definitely want to talk about the schedule for the show and the schedule for our podcast as well.
Yeah. I don't have anything else to really say.
Okay, so the show premieres July 18th. That's next Tuesday, if you're listening to this podcast, the week of the 10th. It's interesting because this is an FX show, so it's going to be airing on the antiquated, ancient, archaic FX on television. You've heard of that thing, right? The boob tube, as they call it.
Yes.
And you won't be able to stream it until the next day. So you can look for that on Hulu on Wednesdays. Our podcast will be coming out ASAP on Thursday because we need time to watch the episode. We don't have screeners for this one. I don't know what we're doing for feedback, if anything. This is a pretty short run show. It's only 8 episodes. So
I went back and looked. April 16th, 2015 is when we closed the books on Justified. Eight mm-hmm. fucking years ago. Amazing. And we had a ton of feedback. Of course, that was the series finale, right?
Yeah.
It's one of those things we'll probably play it by ear. If we have feedback, we'll include it in the end of the podcast. Maybe we'll do, if we have just a little bit, maybe we'll do a couple of feedback roundups over the course of the season. If we have a ton of it, shit, maybe we'll have a separate feedback show. Who knows? All mm-hmm. I know is to send it in to have its own adventure. You want to do Justified at baldmove.com.
That's the other thing.
Justified at baldmove.com.
The other thing I'm super interested to see is what is the audience response for this? Is there demand out there? Because like, it's one thing if the show is good or bad. It's another thing entirely if people just are interested in Justified at all. Because it has been so long.
The thing is that like I know that Justified never was a crazy success for podcasts. But it was really successful for FX. It had millions of people watching it, even in its last season. It maintained a really successful core audience. I guess like the question is like, has it benefited like by word of mouth and its availability on streaming and people like, I mean, you know, we talk it up all the time. I see Alan Sepinwall talking it up all the time. Joanna Robinson's been a big Justified champion for a long time. And they all are going to be excitedly covering it. Like, and it's been mm-hmm. 8 years that podcasting has gotten bigger and these, you know, like the television enjoyer fan base has grown.
Uh-huh. Timothy Oliphant has gotten bigger. Like his profile is way higher.
Yeah. Like everybody knows him as the guy you get excited for when he shows up in a cowboy role, whether he's on Boba Fett or, uh-huh. you know, the movie with Johnny Depp as a chameleon lizard thing. I think you're right. I think he's gotten a lot bigger and that he's done a lot of press for it. But who knows? Who knows?
Yeah.
Because it's also a cowboy show in Detroit, which is also, I think, inherently interesting. But I'm excited to find out how Raylan does do.
Same here.
All right. Well, that will wrap it up for the Justified City Primeval Primer preview. We will see you back here next Thursday for a discussion of season. Well, it's just episode one of City Primeval. Justified at baldmove.com if you got feedback for that show. Until then, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jim.
See ya.